Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. I'm hoping to start kind of aiming or going in the direction of starting to do some teaching on healing here. I just think with some of the things that are going on in the world today and that have crept into our own country, it's probably wise to do some refreshing on that along those lines. But before that, I just want to spend some time, again, just talking about the importance of understanding God's word and how God's word works. So Proverbs chapter 4 here, starting in verse 20, well, let's pray here. Father, we just thank you for the word this morning. Thank you so much for your precious, wonderful, life-giving word. Father, we thank you for the power that is resident in your word, the potential that is resident in your word to change, to transform, to revolutionize our lives. Thank you, Father God. We just thank you that the Holy Spirit, who is here today in each one of us, our great teacher, will open our hearts, open our minds, enlighten us to understand what we need to see this morning, that we would walk away with something that is life-giving and important to us. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your wonderful, precious word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to their flesh." So we're just going to look at this for a few minutes and then get into a couple of other things. This is like the most incredible passage of scripture as far as if you want to look for a formula in the word for how God's word works. This is it. This would be it. Basically, this is telling us God's word can't be life or health unless it's found and attended to and kept in the midst of a heart. He's telling us here, it's not, you know, people say things about the word all the time or about a message they heard or about something their pastor said or something a TV evangelist said or their favorite radio preacher. But unless we find that and attend to it and keep it in the midst of our heart, it can't be life and health to us. Or because it's just in the Bible. It's because it's a truth that we're aware of doesn't mean that we're going to profit from it. So it can't be life or health until it's found. You know, it doesn't say that the words are just life and health, period. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say for they are life and health. They have to be found. They have to be attended to. So first of all, we have to find the word. You know, when you're going through something in your life, you need to find what does the word say about this? I know God's word addresses this issue. If we're struggling in the area of our health, then what does the word say about our health? What does the word say about what we're dealing with? What if we're struggling financially? What does the word say? We have to find those scriptures. We have to attend to those scriptures, and then we have to keep those scriptures in the midst of our heart. So it doesn't just say their life and health, period, but their life and health to those that find them. The Voice translation says, "For those who discover them, they are life. They bring wholeness and healing to their bodies." Now, I love this word life here, "for they are life to those that find them." That's just us talking about our natural life, you know, our that we have breath, that we're drawing breath and that our hearts are beating and that we're living beings. So it's not talking about that. This word life is the fullest enjoyment of all the powers of one's being, including health and prosperity. It means to prosper, to sustain life, and to nourish. So this is talking, again, you could almost say this would be similar, maybe the Hebrew counterpart to the Greek word zoe. I'm not saying it is, but it could be, just by this definition. So God's word was designed to release its life to us. This life that would bring life and health, this life or this type of thing that would bring health to us, that would bring prosperity to us. So if we want to receive those things, we need to take the time to find the scriptures that promise those results. So whatever it is that we're struggling in. And as you know, as we get older, there's things that begin to, just because of the natural course of a human's life, there's things we need to begin to pursue God's word for. And most of those would have to do with our health. So we have to find the things in the scriptures that promise those results. Really familiar passage of scriptures, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. This is one of Jesus' responses to the enemy as he was being tempted in the wilderness. It's the quote of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, Jesus used bread because bread was a daily essential. Everybody knew bread was a daily essential. It was something you had to have every day to stay alive, to be healthy. You had to eat. He's talking about food, sustenance, physical sustenance. Well, we wouldn't think of going without eating. Unless we are on a purposeful fast for some reason, we wouldn't think of going a day without a meal. But yet, we don't apply those same principles to the Word. We don't apply those same principles to the fact we could let days go sometimes without opening our Bible or reading something or spending time fellowshipping with the Lord. So that's the priority we're talking about, that the Word has got to have if it's going to be life and health to us. And when it becomes life and health, then lack and depression and sickness and disease will be gone. Now, I'm not saying there's never going to be times when we might be tempted or have an opportunity to welcome those little things into our household, to accept them into our household, but we still can resist them. We can still resist them and stand against them until we're back on our feet again. So it's only life and health. The Word is only life and health to those that find them. And then verse 20 says, to attend to them. That means pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to the Word. You know, pastor's going to minister the Word this morning. Let's pay attention to what he has to say. You know, how many of us remember growing up at times when we'd kind of get off, kind of daydreaming in school, and our teachers would have to say, pay attention. Why? Because they were sharing life lessons with us, things with us that were going to profit us in our lifetime. We need to pay attention, pay close attention to the Word. And I think that the body of Christ today has been afflicted with all manner of things because they have failed to find the Word. They have failed to pay attention to the Word that addresses the issues they're facing. You know, we're not going to just be blessed, walk in health, experience the life and blessings of God by osmosis or because I'm a Christian, because God loves me, and because I'm such a great person. I'm just going to get all these things are just going to belong to me because I belong to a Christian church. I'm active in my local body. None of these things happen by osmosis. We don't just absorb it because we're in that atmosphere. We have to do something. These are laws. These are laws. This is how it works. If we don't work it, it's work. It's so plain. It's so simple to understand. It, you know, really somebody would have to help us to misunderstand this. That's how simple it is, how plain it is. So God's Word tells us what we have to do for His Word to release its life to us. We have to incline our ears to it. We have to not let it depart from our eyes. We have to attend to it. We have to find it. So it requires some diligence on our part. It's not something that just because our spouse does that, we're going to benefit from what our spouse is doing. Oftentimes, oh, you know, my wife, she's the spiritual one. Well, look, buddy, you're in trouble if you don't start doing this for yourself. Somebody can't do this in proxy for you. We have to each do it for ourselves. So we have to attend to it. We have to find it. We have to not let it depart from our eyes. We have to keep it in the midst of our heart. And if we're not, then there's no way for us to enjoy life and health. You know, God's Word is full of promises, and it tells us that all of the promises of God in Christ are yes. None of them are, well, maybe. They're for you. They're for you, but you have to do something with them. You have to find them. You have to keep them. You have to attend to them for them to be life and health. And life and health is something all of us want. I don't know of anybody that's believing to die young and broke. I don't know. I've never met a person yet who's believing for that. I got my sights set on an early death, and I'm leaving with nothing. I'm not leaving anything behind. You know, who would even think that way? And who doesn't? Does anybody in this room not want to live long and be well taken care of and provided for? Who doesn't want it? Well, the Bible gives us this wonderful, I hate to use the word formula, but it is a formula in a sense. in a sense, you know, I don't believe in formulas when it comes to the things of God, but it's these are principles that if we will apply them, they absolutely will work. They're guaranteed to work because they're laws. Laws always work. Do you ever worry in the morning when you get up and swing your feet over the edge of your bed that when you put your feet on the ground, they're not going to stay? Why? Because, in fact, that law is so ingrained in us, we aren't even consciously engaging in the fact that gravity is going to work every day for to benefit us. Well, the principles of God's word are laws as well. These are laws. This is a law. What Proverbs 4 says here is a law. These are laws. If we will attend to the word, if we will find the scriptures that are applicable to the things that we're dealing with in life, if we will not let it get away from us, keep it in front of us all the time, if we'll keep it in our hearts, it says it will be life and health to us. It will bring vibrant health and it will bring us to a place of prosperity. And of course, that applies to so many things other than just your pocketbook. Prosperous, we're talking about first about the prosperous soul. You know, we'll never prosper financially if our soul doesn't first prosper. So Proverbs 4 tells us exactly how to attend to the word. He says, don't let it depart from before your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. And that word depart just means don't let it get out of your sight. Keep it. You know, and some that's not necessarily even talking about your physical side. It's just talking about keep it in close proximity to you all the time. You know, and we, you know, you've heard this. People do this with their cares, don't they? If there's something going on in your life that's pressing, there's something going on in your life that's difficult or that you're concerned about, boy, that's in close proximity to you all the time. It's kind of like always right there. It's always like just right there waiting to fellowship with you. Well, that's what the word has to be like. God, these promises that you find and that you attend to, you cannot let them depart. Don't let them get out of close proximity. Keep them close to you all day long. All day long. And you know, people say, well, I can't meditate in the word day and night. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because if you're not meditating in the word, you're going to be meditating in something else. You're going to be meditating. You're going to be thinking on, mulling over, even talking about what the things you're struggling with if you don't meditate in God's word. You can do this on your job. We've all done it. We've all done it. You can do these things. It works. You can be fellowshipping, holding a conversation with God, talking to him about the word. I love the whole concept of meditation being imagining, using your imagination to see yourself. What would my life be like if I were walking in divine health? Well, we could think of all kinds of things we wouldn't experience. We think about pains that would be gone and conditions that we've had to kind of nurse along that would just be gone. You need to see your, you have to begin to see yourself that way. That's what meditation does, is it enables us to see ourselves healthy, walking, living out our lives healthy and strong and vibrant. Again, not believing, we're not believing God, we're going to die young. We're believing we're going to finish, we're going to live long and finish strong. Amen. We're not gonna have, you know, to be living someplace where somebody's gonna have to change our diapers and wipe the drool off of our mouth. I've heard Christians laughingly say that about their spouse having to change their diapers. That is stupidity gone to seed. Now, even if they're saying it tongue in cheek, there's probably a little bit of real faith in that they really believe that. We have to only allow stuff. You know, we're going to be judged for every word, every idle word that come out of our mouths. Boy, we'd talk a lot less, wouldn't we? If we really believed that. So don't let it depart. Don't let it slip from your mind. Don't let it slip. Don't let it get away from you. Why? Because if you're not mindful of God's word, you're going to be mindful of the symptoms. You're going to be mindful of the circumstances. You're going to be mindful of your lack or your aches and your pains and the other health issues that you might be dealing with. They'll occupy your heart. They will occupy your heart. Now, why is this so important? Because every single one of those things is a seed. God's word is compared to a seed in the scriptures, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Peter 1, chapter 23, all of those refer to God's word as being seed, like seed. I love that God gives us these wonderful natural things to connect with, to make his word more real to us and to help us get a grasp on it. And you know, seeds are powerless unless they're planted. As much potential is in a seed, it is absolutely powerless until it's planted. Yesterday when I was taking my walk, you know, I walk along Mississippi River Boulevard, and as I was taking my walk, there's some sections on my walk that it's just wonderful, the mix of trees. You know, there's maple trees. This year's just been spectacular color, hasn't it? Oh, the maples this year were just spectacular. But there's oak trees and there's maple, and there's this one stretch that I was walking through that's predominantly oak trees. And so, of course, who knows? Everybody knows what this little guy is. And so I was thinking about it. So I stopped and picked one up because I was, you know, meditating, of course, on what I'm going to be sharing today, thinking about that as I was walking along. And just thinking about this little acorn, what does it have in it potentially? A tree a million times larger than this. I don't know if a million would be right, but many hundreds of thousands of times larger than this. You could fit that many of these into a tree, the potential. But until this gets planted and watered and nourished, I don't care how much potential it has. People say that about the word all the time. Oh, God's word. God's word can do anything. God's word can, you know, but it's absolutely powerless just laying on the dirt. So just laying on the dirt there. And you know how most of these little guys get planted? Squirrels. Squirrels plant them. Probably most oak trees today were planted by a squirrel. Unless they're the ones in our yards, you know, that we intentionally planted. But these are little, otherwise this potentially, this one's got a little hole in it. I just noticed that. I wonder if somebody's living in there. But it has, so think of the potential in this tiny little, and then you look at this and you look at an oak tree and you go, they don't look anything like each other. This is this little hard little rock. It's kind of cute, though. It looks like a little Chinaman. You could paint this little face on there. His little hat. It's very cute. But look at the size of a massive oak tree in comparison to this. This huge. I love oak trees. I love the structure of an oak, how their branches are all parallel, and they run parallel to the ground, and they just, oh, they're so beautiful. But if this never gets planted, if it doesn't get watered, if it doesn't receive the nourishment that it needs, it's powerless. Well, God's word is the same way. God's word has incredible potential. Incredible potential. But if we don't do with it what the word tells us we have to do with it, nothing. Absolutely. And that's why I think, again, you know, like I said a couple Sundays ago, I know my messages are like alarm clocks. Just get off of it already and just move on to something else. I can't. Unless we do something with what God told us, it will never profit us. People are disappointed with their walk. They're disappointed with the fruit they've seen in their lives as Christians. But if they're honest, if there's a degree of integrity and honesty, and they were to ask themselves, have I done what Proverbs 4 is telling me here? Have I found those scriptures that apply to my situation? Have I attended to them? Have I kept them in the midst of my heart? Have I protected them, as those parables of the sower tell us, to protect them from the cares of this life, from the, you know, all the things that try to creep in to try to keep the word from being unfruitful? Have I done that? If we're honest about that, in many cases we haven't. You know, we've tried it. You know, we'll hear a message like this and go, okay, I'm going to do this. I'll try that. But we it's not a lifestyle. And that's why God uses terms like day and night and constantly and continuing, because that's what it requires for these things to go from this potential to a massive oak tree many, many times, hundreds of thousands of times larger than this, and in another form completely. It's just so incredible. You know, all seeds, they look nothing like the finished product. You look at a little carrot seed. And then I was at a thing with my daughter this week, a co-op, a Christian co-op that's down in the southern part of the cities. And these organic farmers show up with their trucks. And these women had these biggest carrots I've ever seen in my life. I mean, some of them look like they're about as big as my forearm. They were massive carrots. And you just think, well, carrot seeds are tiny little things. And yet they turn into something that can bring life and sustenance to people. So again, they're powerless until they're planted. They'll just sit on the ground. They'll just sit on the ground like this acorn was sitting on the ground. Actually, I had to look until I found one with this little cap on it. But they'll just sit there on the ground until somebody plants that in the ground, waters it, and provides the nourishment that it needs. Now, of course, that's God's responsibility. God is the one who causes the increase. But you know, this is what he set up from the very beginning. He set this system up from the very beginning in the natural world, didn't he? And then in Genesis, it tells us that these things will never cease. Seed time and harvest will never cease. As long as the earth remains, this principle, the laws that govern this will never cease. Well, that's true in the spiritual sense as well. And so there would be no animals, there would be no plants, there would be no human life in this world without seeds. So why do we even begin to think that we will experience health, prosperity, thriving relationships, and all the wonderful things about life if we don't employ that system into our spiritual lives? How can we possibly think it's just going to happen? Well, of course it's going to happen. God loves me. I'm a Christian. Of course. What's that believing? That we're believing that we're going to get it by osmosis. We're going to get it just because God said it. Well, what are we doing with it? We have to do something with it. So the whole kingdom of God works on the same principle. It's dependent on the word of God. The whole kingdom is dependent on the word of God being something being done with those words. And it's only what we find and what we attend to and what is what's going to be sown in our hearts. Now, I just started again rereading Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth, and he says this. This is incredible. Of course, so many times this is what happens to me. I'll read one statement in a book, and it'll just launch me into an 18-week series, like I just ended up doing. F.F. Bosworth in Christ the Healer, this was just in his introduction. He says, in the seed, and he's referring to in the seed of God's word, in the seed, there are possibilities beyond the power of the human mind to conceive. Just as in a little seed, there is a potential tree a million times bigger than that seed. So God's word, when you look at by his stripes, you're healed. There is potential in that seed beyond the power of the human mind to conceive, just as in a little seed there is a potential tree a million times bigger than the seed. Why? Because God gives the increase. Not only is the potential there to heal our bodies, but it's there to keep us healed, to keep us well. All kinds of things are affected. Our minds become renewed. We become better stewards. All these different areas, it infiltrates every area of our life. We become better stewards of our bodies. We begin believing differently about how we treat ourselves, how we take care of ourselves. All these things are affected. That's the kind of increase that comes. But I couldn't help but be reminded of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. You know, we quote this scripture so often, but I thought of it in reference to this, in reference to the seed. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we dare ask or think according to the power at work within us. But listen to the Amplified. Excuse me. It says, now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work in us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. See, that's what a little seed of God's word can accomplish in our lives. If we will attend to the word, incline our ears to its sayings, not let it depart from before our eyes, and keep it in the midst of our heart. But first, you have to find it. First, you have to get your Bible out and you have to find these things. You have to You have to find them. If you're struggling financially, find what the Word says about that. If you need a job, find what the Word says about it. God promises blessings to His people. If you need healing, find what does the Word say about that. If you're struggling in a relationship, or if you have a lack of peace, if you're walking in fear, what does the Word say? We have to find what the Word says. And then we have to do what Proverbs 4 verses 20 through 22 tell us to do. You know as well as I do, after this passage in Proverbs, it tells us about our hearts. And it tells us that out of our hearts flow the issues of life. In other words, if you don't like what's going on in your life today, what did you plant there? You know, I could go into your, if you have a garden in your backyard, I could go into your backyard, and without you even being present, and without me seeing what you planted, I could see what you planted. Oh, there's carrots. There's some lettuce. Oh, I see some little beets. I see some onions popping up. I could tell what you planted in your garden without ever having watched you open those seed packets and put them in the dirt. Without you, we wouldn't even have to be proud. I could tell what you planted in your garden. Now, what's going on in our lives? What is going on in our lives? Well, I didn't plant that there. I didn't. Now, you know, everybody goes through temporary things at times in their lives. They have a bad day or something might come on you and it's temporary. But I'm talking about chronic. I'm talking about chronic things. Things that are just, people just know you're one of those people that's always sick. You're always struggling in your health, or you're always coming up short money wise, or you're always having marriage problems, they can look at your garden and pretty much know what you've been planting or haven't been planting. They didn't have to be there. But for you to say, well, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Somebody must have snuck into my backyard and sown those seeds. So weed seeds, you know, the soil of your garden doesn't care what gets planted in it. It's going to produce it. It'll produce weeds. Have you ever noticed how the weeds seem to be so prolific? It doesn't matter if it's weed seeds or if it's the things we want in our garden. They're both going to come up. That's what the ground was created to do, is to produce whatever's planted in it. So if there's strife in our lives, if there's issues in our marriages and in our relationships, if we have no peace, if we're in fear, if we're constantly overwhelmed by what life is dealing to us, dealing out, if we're constantly dealing with health issues or health problems, we got to stop making excuses about this. And realize, I can change this. If I don't like this crop, I can rid it all up and replant it. Why? Because God's Word is guaranteed to produce. Amen. It is guaranteed. This is not maybe. Just maybe if I plant this acorn, just maybe. Now, in a natural sense, sometimes, you know, we know that some seeds are bad. Maybe it's just a seed that was, I don't know, mutated or I don't know, something. Maybe there's a worm in there that ate all the good seed stuff out of there. I don't know. But God's Word is incorruptible. Absolutely incorruptible. It has no shelf life, no expiration on its shelf life. If you will do what the Word tells you to do with it, it will do what it says it will do. It's guaranteed. I'm tired of hearing people say it doesn't work. That's disingenuous. That is just disingenuous. And you know what we are? What we've done? We've deceived ourselves. If we say things like that, we have deceived ourselves by not doing. Doesn't it tell us in James chapter 1 that if you are a doer of the Word, you'll be blessed in your deeds? The Amplified there is like, knock your socks off. It says that person betrays themselves into a place of deception because they haven't done what the Word says. So this has such incredible potential, not just this acorn, but this. This is full of millions of acorns, amen, that will produce something so far above and beyond. Let me read one more. I know we're going way over today. I didn't know it was that late, but I want to read one more scripture and then we'll close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because you received the word which you heard from us. You received it not as the word of a man, But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So same thing here, amplified. He says, you welcomed it not as the word of a mere man, or you could say seed of a mere man, but as it truly is the word, the seed of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe. Now listen to this. This is again in reference to in the seed, there being the possibilities beyond the power of the human mind to conceive, just as in a little seed, there is a potential 3 million times bigger than the word. Listen to this. He says, you receive it not as it truly is the word, the seed of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to, trust, and rely on it. Man, this is just incredible. I mean, this is what in life, in the natural sense, is guaranteed. Is anything guaranteed in our natural lives? This is a guarantee. God's word is guaranteed to work if we will do what he tells us to do with it. It's guaranteed. It's foolproof. Foolproof, that's good. Because only a fool can't work it. It's foolproof. I mean, it'll work for anybody. Maybe that's not right. It is foolproof. In other words, even a fool can make it work if they'll work it. So that's the issue is we have to work it. Amen.